We're beginning here on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara says, "V'ne'achelet l'shnei yamim v'layla echad." When it comes to Chagigat Yudalid, the Chagigah that comes along with the Korban of Pesach, it's eaten for 2 days and one night, like a typical shlamim. That's what it's said in our Mishnah. Our Gemara says, "Matnitin deloka ben tema." Our Mishnah is not like ben tema. D'tanya, we have a brayta. Ben tema omer Chagigah b'ayim haPesach, harihike Pesach. The Chagigah that comes along with the Pesach has the same din as a Pesach. Ve'enu ne'achelet ayom v'laylo. It's only eaten for 1 day and one night. 1 day meaning the day that it's brought. That's Erev HaPesach. That night, which is the night of Pesach, when the Korban HaPesach is eaten. And that's its limitation. Ve'chagigat chamishasar. On the other hand, the chagigah that's brought on the 15th, ne'achelet l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. That has the typical standing of a regular shlamim. And that's eaten for 2 days and one night. Bechagigat abasar, when it comes to the chagiga of the 14th, yotze ba mishum simcha. When you consume it, when you eat it on the first night of Pesach, you are yotze the din of simcha. Vein yotze ba mishum chagiga. On the other hand, you're not yotze your obligation in terms of bringing a chagiga. Those are terms and terminology that we'll get to later on in other mesechtot in Masechet Chagiga. But just as a little background, a person, when it comes to the regel, is obligated, number one, to bring karbonot chagigah. They have to bring certain karbonot that involved, that are there for the chag itself. And also have to bring what we call shamei simcha, karbonot that enhance the simcha of the yom tov. Now, as opposed to a chagigah, which has to be a regular korban, a special korban, and when it comes to a korban has to be brought from the chulin. It can't utilize another korban to double and take care of this situation for you. So a chagigah is a specific korban that's brought on the yom tov for that purpose, to be the chagigah for the yom tov. On the other hand, when the shalmei simcha, there is a specific limud or a miut in the Torah that tells us that when it comes to simcha, that can even be done through other korbanot that you are obligated to bring. For instance, if you have nidarim and nidavot that you have to bring, if you bring those on the regel, they can also double as simcha. So too over here, this chagigah yudalid is coming as an obligation alongside of the Pesach. Now, it's not brought on Pesach itself, it's not brought on Yom Tov itself, so it cannot function as a Chagigah with regards to Yom Tov, because its purpose and its utility is associated with the Korban of Pesach and with Erev Pesach, and therefore, it's not qualified to be a Chagigah in the sense of being Yotze the Chagigah for the Regel, because it's another obligation, and you can't use something else that's already an obligation to fulfill your obligation for Chagigah. On the other hand, for Simcha, it can qualify. As we said before, other korbanot can be used to accomplish the mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Tov, on the Regel. So this korban, even though it was shechted prior to the night of Pesach, but because it's consumed on Pesach, it qualifies as doing the Simcha, or enhancing your Simcha on Yom Tov. So that is what we have as the position of Ben Tema. What's obvious from the position of Ben Tema is that he's not the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says the Chagigah that comes on Yudalid is like a regular Shlamim, 2 days and one night. On the other hand, Ben Tema says that the Chagigah that comes is 1 day and one night. So it's obviously not Ben Tema who's the author. What the Gemara wants to understand now is what's the reasoning behind Ben Tema, and then how far does Ben Tema's din go? When Ben Tema says that he has a Chagigah that looks like this, why does it look like this? And then what are the implications of that? And that's what the Gemara says now. My time at the Ben Tema. What's the reasoning behind Ben Tema's position? Kedematne Rav l'chia b'rei. As Rav says over to his son Chia when he was telling over a braita, velo yalin laboker zevach hagapasach, that you cannot leave over until the morning the korban haPesach. So he dashes out of that pasuk zevach chag. There's a korban or shkita that's done for the chag. Zechagiga. That's chagigat yudalid. HaPesach kimashmo is the korban haPesach. So there are two korbanot that you can't leave over until the morning. The korban Pesach, which you can only eat at the night of the Seder night, that you can't leave over until the morning, as well as the Korban Chagigat Yudalid, you're not allowed to leave over until the morning. That's the reasoning of Ben Tema. V'amar Achumano, and the Pasuk says about those Korbanot, lo yalin, don't leave them over. And that's why Ben Tema thinks that there's a limitation on the Zman that you may eat this Chagigat Yudalid. See, Bailu, the Ben Tema Nechelet Tzvi, oh, ain't a Nechelet Tzvi. So now, this is the secondary question that we mentioned before for Ben Tema, is now that it is correlated with the Korban of Pesach, this Korban Chagigah, we're assuming has the same din as a Pesach, which is that you're not allowed to leave it over until the morning. Now, how similar is it to the Korban of Pesach? On the night of Pesach, the Korban of Pesach can only be eaten in a roasted way. It can only be roast. So now, what about the Korban Chagigah? Does the Korban Chagigah have that same requirement or that same limitation? So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Is the hekesh between Pesach and the Chagigah simply about lina? Aval it's lilo, but when it comes to roasting, it doesn't have that hekesh. Odim aloshna, or maybe it makes no difference. Tashma, let us look at the final parak here in Masechet Pesachim, where it talks about the manishtana. As part of the manishtana, it says, halay lezek ulot zli, all the meat on this night is eaten roasted. V'amar Rav Chista zu divrei ben teima. That statement in the manishtana is according to ben teima, who says that the Chagigat Yudalit looks like the Korban of Pesach. Not only does it look like the Korban of Pesach in terms of its time limit, it also looks like the Korban of Pesach in terms of the way that the meat is presented or eaten, and that is roasted. Shma minas, and from that we conclude that the Chagigat Yudalit, according to ben teima, is done bitzli, is done roasted. Now, bailuhu, again, how far does this go? The ben teima. Bamin abakar, oin abamin rakar. Can the Korban Chagigat Yudalit be brought from bakar? Or does it only have to be brought minat tzon? We know that the Korban of Pesach can only come from tzon. It can only come from klesvim uizim. It can only come from sheep or goats. So now, bamin and akevot. Oh, I know bamin and akevot. A Korban of Pesach has to be a zachar. Has to be a male. Cannot be a female. So the same question now by the Chagigat Yudal. Can it become from a female or not? Babat shteshanim. Oh, I know babat shteshanim. Korban of Pesach has to be 1 year old. It has to be in its first year of life. It has to be toch ben shana. Whereas, can the Chagigat Yudalit have the possibility of brought ben shteshanim? Or not, or maybe not. So these are all qualifications of the Korban of Pesach. Number one is that it has to be brought minatzon. Number two is that it's a zachar. Number three is that it's ben shana. Do those requirements also apply to the Chagigah? Ki akshei rachman of the Pesach, the midei da'achila. The hekesh, the Korban of Pesach, is only about things in its consumption, meaning the time of its consumption as well as how it's presented. Aval chom ilelo, but other areas that are external to the Korban itself, maybe not. Odim aloshna, or maybe even the features or the characteristics of the korban have to be the same. Tashma, we have a proof. Chagigah habay me pesach, harihi ke pesach. The chagigah that comes with the pesach is exactly like a pesach. Ba min atzon, vein ba min abakar. It comes from the flock animals, not from the cattle. Ba min azacharim, veinu ba min anekevot. Only comes from males, not from females. Ba bat shnata, comes at 1 year old. Veinu ba bat shteshanim, it can't be 2 years old. Veinu nechela to leyom balayla, it's only eaten for 1 day and 1 night. Veinu nechel del etzli, it's only eaten roasted. Veinu nechel del muav, it's only going to be eaten by those that were joined on the korban prior to shchita, meaning that they have to have been assigned or owners of the korban prior to that. Man shmait le dit le haisavara, who is the one who tells us that a korban chagiga can only be eaten for 1 day and 1 night? That's ben teima. So then if that's ben teima, shmamina, kulu milta binan shmamina. You see from this bright of this is ben teima shita, that ben teima shita extends not just to the timing of the korban chagigat yudalit and its tzli, but to everything. Identical to a korban pesach, it has the same requirements. Whatever the requirements are for korban pesach, so too are the requirements for the chagigat yudalit according to ben teima. Alright, ibayiluhu. The ben teima, yesh ba mishum shvirat etzim, o in ba mishvirat etzim. How far does this parallel go again? Here they have the same character traits as the korban pesach. It has the same time frame, it has the same presentation as the korban pesach. Does it have the same unusual din of the korban pesach that you may not break any of the bones? By the korban pesach, there's a requirement that you don't break any of the bones of the korban pesach. Does that also apply to chagigat yudalit? So avagav dechi akshei rachman of the pesach amar krabo. Even though when the korban it talks about etzim lo yishbru bo, you're not allowed to break any etzim bone in it, and bo is a mute. Bo velo bechagigat. Sounds like it's a mute. Only in the Korban Pesach do you have this requirement of not breaking the bones, but that doesn't have application by the Chagigah. Odilma, haibo, bikasher, velo pasulu da'ata. Maybe the miut of bo comes to teach you something else. Rather that, only a kosher Korban Pesach has this restriction of etzim lo tishbiru bo. On the other hand, if you have a pasul Korban Pesach, it does not have this restriction, or whatever other Korban does not have this restriction of etzim lo yishbiru bo. So what is the bow used for? Is the bow come to exclude Chagigah? Or is the bow come to exclude a non-kosher Pesach? Which means Chagigah would have that same din as Etzim Lo Tishru Bo, that you not may not break the Etzim. Tashma. So the Gemara is going to move over to a Braita. It's an interesting Braita. But through this Braita, it's going to take us all the way to the next Amud. Through this Braita, the Gemara is going to try to prove about this din as to whether this is the case or not. Tashma. Sakin Shinim Tzeit Bar Basar. If you find a knife on the 14th, Erev Pesach, Shochet Ba Miyad. You can utilize that knife right away. You can assume that if it was Tamei, the owners already took it to the mikveh and had Harav Shemesh and they had it Tahor. Now, it could have been there for a long time in Yushalayim, but it's very unlikely because this is Aliyah the Rego. There are tons of people there. If the knife's found on the ground, it's unlikely that it's been there for a long time. There's so many people around. So it probably fell from whoever had it today. And if it fell today, that means that it's now available to be used right away because nobody would have a knife on the 14th that wasn't ready to be utilized to check the Korban of Pesach. Bishloshasar, on the other hand, if you find it on the 13th, shoneh matbil. You have to take it and put it in the mikveh again. Because when you're on the 13th, the owner could put it in the mikveh right before sunset. The sun sets and the knife would be tahor. So since on the 13th, we're not certain that the owner would have made it tahor already because he still had more time in the day to make it tahor. There we ask you to put in the mikveh again to make sure, to ensure that it is tahor. Whereas on Erev HaPesach, where there's no more chance to make it tahor before Shechitat HaPesach, Shechitat HaPesach is that afternoon, there's no more sunset before that, then we assume that it is already tahor and you can utilize it right away. That's true by a sakin, by a knife. On the other hand, a kupitz, which is a hatchet, the hatchet was generally used by the butchers to cut the meat and to break the bones. Ben bazeh, whether it's found on the 13th or it's found on the 14th, shoneh umatbil. You have to put it in the mikveh again. Mani, who's the author of this position in the Braita? Ilei merabbanon. If it's the rabbanon, maishna sakin de matbil, the chazi le pesach. What's the difference between a sakin, which if he puts it into the mikveh, because it's roi le pesach, meaning the reason on the 14th you don't have to take it to the mikveh again is because we assume the owner already made it tahor to utilize that day. Kupitz nami, so too the hatchet. Ha-chazi la-chagiga. The hatchet you could use to cut up the chagiga. So why, according to the Rabbanon, on the 14th, wouldn't the hatchet also be tahor? Because according to the Rabbanon, the chagigat yudal does not look like a korban pesach at all. And certainly not for breaking bones in it. So you would use the hatchet to cut up the korban chagiga. And that would be done on yudal on the 14th. That means that by the time you get to the 14th, the owner would definitely have the knife and the hatchet be tahor. He can't risk not having it be tahor. He needs them for that day. So it can't be that the Rabbanon are the authors of this Braita. Elav de Ben Teimai. It must be that Ben Teimai is the author of this Braita. Ushma mino. And from that we can conclude. Yesh ba mishpum shvirat etzim. And that comes to teach you that Chagiga has a problem of shvirat etzim. That's why on the 14th, we still assume that the hatchet is not tahor. Because he still has more time to get the hatchet to be good. He needs it for Chagiga tedvav. He needs it for the Chagiga on the 15th, on Yom Tov itself. But the Chagigah prior to Yom Tov, he doesn't need the hatchet for, because according to Bein Teima, you can't break the bones. So the only thing you need on the 14th is a knife. That is why we assume on the 14th it's already tahor, the knife, because he needs it that day. The hatchet, which he doesn't need till the 15th, he could still take to the mikveh before sunset on the 14th, and be ready for Yom Tov the next day on the 15th. And so because of that, he doesn't need the hatchet right now. If he doesn't need the hatchet right now, that's an indication that he can't break the bones right now. Who's of that opinion? This is Ben Teima. Ben Teima, who says that the Chagigah has an issue with breaking the bones. And that's why. So we prove from this that there is a problem with breaking bones according to Ben Teima. Gemara says, though, the Olam Rabbanon. It's the Rabbanon who can go on Shabbat b'Shabbat. It fell out. Yudalid fell out on Shabbat. When Yudalid falls out on Shabbat, then by the Korban of Pesach, it's Dochet Shabbat. But Chagigat Yudal, as we saw in our Mishnah, is not Dochet HaShabbat. So if it's not Dochet HaShabbat, then as far as the hatchet is concerned, he doesn't need it that day. He's not going to be bringing a Chagigat Yudal that day. So if that's the case, the assumption is that the knife for sure is Tahor, because he needs a knife on Erev Pesach to shecht with it, so that he took to the mikvah on the 13th, on Friday. Whereas the hatchet, which he doesn't need until the 15th, even according to the Chachamim, because there is no Chagigat Yudalit on Erev Pesach now, then certainly that he didn't put into the mikveh, because he doesn't need it until tomorrow. Gemara says, V'amikdani seifa chalar basa liot b'Shabbat shochet b'miyad, u'b'chamishasa shochet b'miyad. Wait a minute. If the latter half of this Braita tells us that if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbat, shochet b'miyad, you shecht it right away. U'b'chamishasa shochet b'miyad, and on the 15th you can use it right away.
Now that is for both the sakin and the kupitz over here. And that is because you can't take these items to the mikveh on Shabbat. So since you can't take them to the mikveh on Shabbat, then already on the 13th, they would have taken them to the mikveh. And that's why on the 14th and the 15th, you can utilize them right away, because for sure they are tahor at this point in time.
Nimtzeit kupitz, peshua le sakin. If the kupitz, the hatchet, is attached to the knife, harihik is sakin. It's like the sakin.
So because they are together, even if the 14th is on a weekday, the kupitz has the same thing as the sakin, because you find them basically as a package or a bundle together. And just like he took the knife to the mikveh, he certainly took the kupitz to the mikveh.
Michlau, from that you would conclude the reisha la b'Shabbat eskin, that the first part of the Braita is not talking about Erev Pesach that fell out on Shabbat. So that can't be our solution. So now we're back to the stage where Ben Teima is definitely the author of this Braita. Ben Teima is the author of this Braita, There's a differentiation between a kupitz and a sakin because Ben Tema doesn't allow you to break the bones of the chagiga, so you don't need the hatchet. You don't need it for the Korban Pesach, you can't break the bones. You don't need it for the chagiga, you can't break the bones. The only time you need it is for the 15th. So the assumption is by the 15th it'll be tahor, but on the 14th it's not necessarily tahor. The knife, which you need for shechita, that by the 14th we already assume is completely tahor. Ella, so now the Gemara tries another approach. Ella Shabbat Mimruba. It was a case where he was bringing it, Bimruba, meaning that they had sufficient Korban HaPesach for all those people there. They did not need to bring a Chagiga. So that's why he didn't put the Kupitz into the Mikveh, because he wasn't going to bring a Chagiga. But Ein Hachanami, if he was bringing a Chagiga, he would have put it into the Mikveh. But it says, Minayode. How does he know ahead of time not to put the hatchet in the mikveh? Because he knows tomorrow he's going to have sufficient Korban HaPesach for all the people that are nimneh on the Korban HaPesach. You have a right for people to join the Korban HaPesach up to the moment of Shechita. And people might continually buy a chelik in this Korban HaPesach all the way up to the time of Shechita. So standing on the 13th, you have no foreknowledge as to how many people are going to be joined on this Korban HaPesach. So you would definitely put the kupitz into the mikveh, because you would have thought maybe you could use it on the 14th if you need a chagiga. So the fact that we don't do that shows you that it's obviously according to Ben Tema, who says that you can't break the etzem in the chagiga at Yudalud, and that's why he didn't take it to the mikveh. Mar says, okay, we'll try something else. El Shabbat Bituma. It's a Pesach Habbat Bituma. So if it's a Pesach Habbat Bituma, we saw also in our Mishnah that you don't bring a chagiga at Yudalud with it. So Mar says again, Sof, Minayode. How does he know that the Korban HaPesach the next day is going to be brought Bituma? So, if he knew that it was going to be brought bituma, then why would he have to make the knife tahor? So why did the knife go to the mikveh? If he didn't know that it was going to be bituma, then he might have the chagigat yudal the next day. So then he might need the hatchet, and why didn't he bring it to the mikveh? So that doesn't make sense. That can't be the explanation. The Gemara says, Demit Nasi. The Nasi passed away, and as Rashi says over here, mitzvah lechol Yisrael itasek bo. It's a mitzvah incumbent upon all of Israel, if the Nasi or the leader passes away, to be involved in the kvura, and there's a likelihood that everybody's going to become tamei meit. So Mar says, demit nasi emak. When did the nasi pass away? Elema demit b'shloshah sarvi pass away on the 13th. Sakin lamali demit v'lei. Then why does he have to take the sakin, the knife, to the mikveh? He doesn't need the knife to be tohor. He knows everything's going to be bituma. El demit b'abasa. Well, if he died on the 14th, maishna sakin dematbil, or maishna kupitz lo matbilo. So then, what's the difference? Why did he put the knife into the mikveh, assuming that it was going to be tohor, and not put the kupitz in, assuming it's going to be tahor? Why would he make such a differentiation if the nasi is going to die on the 14th? If he knew he was going to die, then he should have put neither of them in the mikveh. If he doesn't know, then he should have put both of them into the mikveh. Now, Gemara says, Lo tzricha, the nasi goseis b'shlosh asar. The nasi is on his deathbed on the 13th. So he has a good assumption that on the 14th he's going to pass away. So again, why is there a differentiation between the knife and the hatchet? Sakin dechad sveka, the knife, where there's only one question about whether it's going to be utilized or not, matbila, he puts it in the mikveh. There's one safek with the knife, which is the Pesach is babituma, or it's not babituma. If the nasi passes away, then it's going to be babituma. He won't need the knife to be tor. If the nasi does not pass away, it'll be babituhara, and he will need the knife. So there is only one question at hand. Since there's only one question, he puts in the mikveh just to be sure. The kupitz, other hand, the hatchet, the trace vege, lo matbila. By the kupitz, he has multiple levels of sfeikot here. Because number one is the possibility that the nasi passes away. If the nasi passes away and it's babituma, then you don't need the kupitz because there's no chagigat yudalit. In addition to that, even if the nasi doesn't pass away, there's a possibility that he'll have sufficient meat in his korban pesach that he will not need the hatchet because he won't need a chagigat yudalit. So there, it's a much further chance that he won't need the hatchet. In that case, he's not going to be bothered to take the hatchet to the mikveh because, in all likelihood, he won't need it. He won't need it either because it would be a Pesach Habbat B'tumah, which doesn't have a Chagigat Yudalud, or the Pesach will have sufficient meat for all those that join to it, so he won't need a Chagigat Yudalud. In the case where the Nasi doesn't pass away, and he has too many people on his Korban Pesach, that far-fetched case where he'll need the Chagigat Yudalud, that he's not thinking about. Since it's too removed, he doesn't take it to the mikveh. On the other hand, by the Sakin, the knife, which is only one safek, there he does take it to the mikveh. Now, by doing this, we now made it possible that the Chachamim could be the authors of that Braita. Now that the Chachamim are the authors of the Braita, we have no proof as to Ben Tema's position with regards to Atzamot, with regards to bones. Because now we've explained that the case in the Braita is a case where, standing on the 13th, he knows that the Nasi is on his deathbed. So now he takes the knife to the mikveh because he has one safek, yes, no. And then in the kupitz, he doesn't take the mikveh because it's yes, no, plus there's another safek of whether he's going to need it at all, even if the nasi doesn't pass away. So therefore, he doesn't take it to the mikveh. When you find the knife on the 14th, you can assume the knife is tahor. You find the kupitz on the 14th, you can assume it's tameh because he didn't take it to the mikveh. But the authors of that brayta now are the chachamim. And now we don't have any evidence as to what Ben Tema's position is with regards to breaking bones of Chigat Yudalid. Tanya, Yehuda ben Durtai perish. He left the chachamim. Hu v'Durtai bino. He and his son Durtai, Balach v'yashab lo b'durom, went down to the south to live far away. So Rashi points out over here, he went down to the south where he'd be too far from the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore he wouldn't be obligated to come up to the regel, and he wouldn't be obligated to bring a chagiga at that time. The reason being is that he has a disagreement with the Chachamim over here about the drasha on the Pasuk. And because of that disagreement, he darshans the Pasuk differently than the Chachamim. He leaves so that he won't get into that controversy, meaning that he won't be in a position where it'll come out that according to his position, he would have to do something, and the Chachamim wouldn't allow him because they don't agree with his understanding of the Pasuk, which is this. Amar, Im Yavo Eliyahu, if Eliyahu comes along and says, V'yomar lehem l'Yisrael, mipnei mo chagagtem chagiga b'Shabbat, why didn't you bring a carbon chagiga on Shabbat? Mahinim rimlo. What are they going to tell him? Tzmihani. I don't understand. Oshnei gdolei ador. We have two great leaders of this generation. Shmai v'Avtalion. Shem chachamim gdolim. They're great wise men. Darshanim gdolim. And they're great darshanim. They give tremendous drashot exegesis on the Torah. V'lo amaru lehem l'Yisrael. Chagiga dochet Shabbat. And they never told Bnei Yisrael that chagiga overrides Shabbat. So now, what we have here is a position of Yehuda ben Durtai, which is that Chagigah overrides Shabbat. Which Chagigah we're speaking about is a Machloket Rashi and Tosafot over here. Rashi believes that we're talking about Chagigat Yudalid. He believes, just like Korban HaPesach is Dochet HaShabbat, so too Chagigat Yudalid is Dochet HaShabbat. And that's his disagreement with the Chachamim. On the other hand, Tosafot, for numerous reasons, wants to suggest that what they're arguing about here is about Chagigat Tedvav. So the Chagigah that comes on the 15th, whether it's Dochet Shabbat or not. Now, there are difficulties in both Perushim. We'll try to point out some of them, but we'll go with Rashi's Perush up front, which is the assumption that Chagigat Yudalid is Dochet HaShabbat. Amarav, my time of the Ben Durtai. What's the reasoning behind Ben Durtai, Dichtiv? It says, V'zavachta Pesach L'Hashem Elokecha Tzon Uvakar. Because it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim that you bring the Pesach from Tzon Ubakar, from the flock and from the cattle. Halo ein Pesach Ela Mina Kvasim Mina Izim. Doesn't the Pesach only come from the flock animals, from the sheep and from the goats? Ella, how do you darshan this pasuk? Tzon ze Pesach. Tzon is the Pesach. Bakar zu chagigah. The bakar on the other hand is the chagigah. V'amar Rachmon, and the pasuk says, v'zavachta Pesach. You bring it like a korban Pesach, meaning that the chagigah takes on the same character traits or characteristics as the korban Pesach. So just like the korban Pesach is doche Shabbat, so too chagigat Yudalid is doche et ha Shabbat. So that is the argument here, which is whether this Chagigat Yudalid is Dochet HaShabbat. Yehuda ben Durtai says, yes, it is Dochet HaShabbat. It is Dochet HaShabbat because it has a Pasuk that parallels or has a Hekesh between Chagigat Yudalid and the Korban HaPesach. So when I have Korban HaPesach Dochet HaShabbat, so too Chagigat Yudalid is Dochet HaShabbat. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that's not the case, as we saw in the Mishnah, that the Chagigah is not Dochet HaShabbat. One of the main reasons Tosafot has is because of a statement earlier on, which we said before, that since Chagigat Yudalid is not a Chovah, it's not Dochet HaShabbat. But that means, according to Ben Tema, who thinks that Chagigat Yudalid is a Chovah, then it should be Dochet HaShabbat. That means that Ben Tema has the same position as Yehuda ben Durtai. So why is it so strange or so far-fetched that he has this position? We have Ben Tema that supports that position as well. There are other reasons he brings as well. And therefore, Tosafot says that that can't be what they're arguing about. But rather, they're arguing about the 15th, the Chagigat Tedvav. Is it Dochet HaShabbat, or is it not Dochet HaShabbat? Now, the difficulty in Tosafot's pshat is the pasuk that we're bringing about Zavachta Pesach. When Zavachta Pesach, the Chagigat that comes together with the Pesach is Chagigat Yudalid. So you'll have to explain that it's on Pesach, it's the Chagigat Tedvav, and Tosafot says that's because Ben Durtai believes that Chagigat Yudalid is not Min HaTorah. That's just an imposition midrabanan, as we saw before in the previous Gemara based on the Yerushalmi, in order that you won't be too hungry to break the bones, or other reasons why midrabanan, they force you to bring a Chagigat Yudalid. But therefore, the Chagigat that's mentioned in the Pasuk must be Chagigat Tedvav. And then there's a Hekesh between Pesach and Chagigat Tedvav. And that Hekesh teaches you that it's Dochet HaShabbat, because it has maybe like the Pesach a time frame that's limited. And since it's Kavu Lazman, it has a fixed time to be brought. Therefore, it has to be brought on the day, even if it's Shabbat, and that's the position of Ben Durtai. So obviously the weakness in Tosafot's Pshat is the Pasuk doesn't seem to be talking about Chagigat Tedvav, it seems to be talking about Chagigat Yudalit. On the other hand, weakness in Rashi's Pshat is that if he's really arguing about Chagigat Yudalit, he really has support from Ben Tema, and why is the Gemara, why are the Chachamim so surprised by this position of Ben Dortai? So Amar Vashi, Vanan Taima de Pushim, Nekum Nifrosh. Vashi says, why are we letting Ben Dortai dictate what the meaning of this Pasuk is? Let me explain the Pushim. The Pushim meaning those that are aligned with the Chachamim. How do they interpret this pasuk? Elakrog the Rav Nachman Udata. This pasuk coming because of the drasha of Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. Minayin lemotar Pesach or shekarev shlamim. How do we know that a leftover Pesach comes as a shlamim? Shinemar, because the pasuk says Avachta Pesach l'Hashem Elokecha tzonu bakar. V'chi Pesach mina bakar ba? Wait, Pesach doesn't come from cattle. Hello, and Pesach ba'el mina kvasim u'neizim. It only comes from sheep and goats. Elamotar Pesach. Yehei l'davar ba mina tzonu mina bakar. The leftovers of a Pesach, that means whether you have extra money that you were going to spend on a Pesach, you lost your Pesach, you replaced it, and now you have leftovers for the Pesach. Or, after Pesach, you have a Pesach that's still around, then what happens to it? It should be for something that comes both from flock animals and the cattle. And what is that? That's a shlamim. That means that a motar Pesach turns into a shlamim. I will just note over here that we are just glossing over this Pasuk. This Pasuk in Parshat Re'eh, and Sefer Dvarim is a very difficult pasuk. The entire parsha of Pesach or Korban of Pesach there is a very difficult parsha. Because that entire parsha or parshiata there about Pesach disagrees with what we find in Sefer Shmot. Sefer Shmot says that the Korban of Pesach has to have all these limitations. Only comes from a zachar. Only comes from tzon. Has to be ben shana. Has to be tzli. The pasukim in Re'eh have none of those qualifications. Almost seem to be the opposite. It says it can come from bakar ubitzon. Come from either of them, and it's mevushal, you can cook it, doesn't have any requirement of tzli, etzem lo tishbubo is not found there at all. It's a very difficult stira. The chachamim here, the Gemara, just assume, yeah, we reconcile it and say, oh, it's talking about the carbon chagigah, or it's talking about motar ha-pesach. That is not such a simple answer, because it's so blatant that there's this problem. In the Navi as well, by Yoshiyahu HaMelech and Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who led Baal Tshuva movement and rejuvenation of Klal Yisrael, they over there also, in their carbon ha-pesach, have the same thing. They have animals that are mentioned there that don't normally come for Korban Pesach, and they have Bishul mentioned there and not just Tzli. So you have the same problem here in Navi. What I would suggest here is
the seeds for this idea, which came from Rabbi Yehuda Rock,
which is that the Pasukim in Dvarim suggest that the Korban Pesach is really a Shlamim. I've mentioned this before, that the Korban Pesach is really an enhanced or a souped up Shlamim, and that it's unique Shlamim. It's a Shlamim that act differently. And that is, there are different types of shlamim. There's a regular shlamim, there's a karmana todah, and there's a karmana pesach. It turns out that the karmana pesach is really an enhanced karban todah. It's really a karban todah, but it has things that are unique or special for a pesach. Which is, of course, a karban todah comes with lechem, comes with bread, which is not allowed on pesach. So instead of the bread that comes normally with the karban todah, instead, we have the matzah that comes with the karmana pesach. The matzah and the maror, because those are the props, or those are the things that are appropriate for the karban todah that would come on Pesach. And so really, in the end, the korban of Pesach is really a shlamim, and the hand shlamim, it's really a karban todah. It's a korban that says thank you to Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And in saying thank you to take us out of Mitzrayim, it is a karban todah. That's what's mentioned in Sefer Devarim, that it's a shlamim, or a todah in a sense. But it has these trappings, or unique things that are connected to korban Pesach, to Yitziat Mitzrayim, which is matzah, maror. And that what makes it a special, unique type of shlamim that is a karban todah for Pesach itself. In addition to that, we'll discuss this more in the Masechta as we go along. I want to suggest as well that this is shown through the fact that the korban of Pesach, or where the korban of Pesach is eaten during the light of the Seder. Today we have our Seder, we actually break our Seder up. We have the beginning of the Seder, the Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, we have Magid, and then we have the beginning of Hallel, and then we stop in the middle of Hallel. In the middle of Hallel, we all of a sudden have the meal, and then we continue and finish off the rest of the Seder with the rest of Hallel after the meal. Why is that? What's the meal doing in the middle? Well, the meal in the middle is a Thanksgiving meal. It's really a Todah. And in Zman Beit HaMikdash, that's when they ate the Korban HaPesach. So where does the Korban HaPesach sit? It sits in the middle of Hallel. Hallel is singing praise to Hashem, thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. And so too, the Korban HaPesach acts in that similar manner. It's a Thanksgiving Korban that is brought like a todah, like a shlamim, enhanced for Pesach to be unique, matzah, maror, one night, one day, no, shvirat etzem, all the things that are unique to the garment of Pesach, Plus, it's eaten in the middle of the meal, in the middle of Hallel, to show you that it's a Thanksgiving Korban. It's saying thank you to Hashem, giving praise to Hashem. And that's a unique aspect of the Korban of Pesach. And that's what in Parshat Re'eh it's trying to show us. That the Korban of Pesach is really a Shlamim. It's really a souped up Shlamim. Now, in order to understand that, we have the contrast. What's in Shmot, which tells us what type of Shlamim is, what are the unique aspects of it. But in Sefer Devarim, it teaches us that it really is, underlying this Korban of Pesach, is a Shlamim or a Korban Todah that is brought in the Mikdash. The Chachamim, as we said over here, dash in the Pasuk, to be partly for the Chagigah, partly for the Pesach, to solve the problem in Parshat Re'eh, but I wanted to give you some explanation, maybe Ali Dei Apshat, of why the Sefer Dvarim calls it a Shlamim, and not a Korban of Pesach, and has basically different aspects to the Korban of Pesach. In the end, the Chachamim did that by placing the Chagigah and the Korban of Pesach, splitting them up into being a Shlamim and being a Pesach. But the truth is, if the Torah integrates them together, it means that the Korban Pesach is really a Shlamim, or really a Korban Todah. So now the Gemara continues, Rabban my time alo dochi Shabbat. Why, according to Rashi, is Chagigat Yudal not Doche Shabbat? Or according to Tosafot, why isn't Chagigat Tedvav Doche Shabbat? Havadai Korban Tzibur. This is a Korban HaTzibur. It belongs to the Tzibur. And a Korban Tzibur is Doche to Shabbat. Now Tosafot already notes this, we're going to get this to later in the Masechta, that may not be the qualification for being Doche Shabbat. What really is the qualification to be Doche Shabbat is Zman Kavua. If it has a fixed time to be brought. That's whether it's a Korban Tzibur or Korban Yachid. If it has a fixed time to be brought, then it's generally Doche to Shabbat. Over here, the Gemara is using as the qualification Korban Tzibur as being something that is Doche to Shabbat. So now, number one, that's somewhat problematic because we have other opinions that it has to do with Zman Kavua. In addition to that, it's problematic because these are not Korbanot Tzibur. The Chagigah is brought by individuals, not by the Tzibur as a whole. So Rashi says something over here, which the Gemara applies to Korban HaPesach and other places, which is, because it's brought b'nikrufaya, since it's brought all together at the same time in a great multitude, it has a din like a Korban HaTzibur. That means that even though it's a Korban HaYachid, since many Yachidim are doing the same exact thing at the same time, they can be change it into or give it the status of Korban HaTzibur. It's an amazing concept that when many people in B'nai Yisrael act together in unison, and have a certain amount of achdut between them, then they become a tzibur, even though they're individually, each of them doing the mitzvah themselves. And that tells us the tremendous power of Klal Yisrael to act when they do a mitzvah together, even though each one's doing the mitzvah individually, when it's done together, it becomes like as if the whole tzibur becomes like a korban tzibur. That's an amazing statement. I'll mention over here also another concept with regards to korban pesach, which is that the korban pesach is a very difficult korban. It's a korban that sits somewhere between being a korban yachid, and a Korban HaTzibur. It has some of the trappings of a Korban Yachid, has some of the trappings of a Korban Tzibur. We see that difficulty right here with Rashi explaining that, even though it's a Korban Yachid, it really has a status like a Korban Tzibur. That's brought out in these other Gemaras that deal with the fact that Korban HaPesach is Dochet HaShabbat, maybe because it has a din of Korban HaTzibur. Now, why is it that the Korban Pesach sits there? The Rambam himself, when he describes different categories of Korbanot, mentions that Korban Pesach is a unique Korban that sits in between. Now, why is it that it sits in between? Because that's exactly what the Korban Pesach was designed to do. Hashem is taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Until now, Bnei Yisrael were individuals or families. What Hashem is trying to create here is what I call the forming of a nation. The beginning of Sefer Shmot is all about the building of a nation, the forming of a nation. Both from the sense of developing a nation that has leadership and now becomes a single entity, becomes a national entity. So what's the ultimate form of national unity or entity? That's the Korban HaTzibur. When the Tzibur brings a single Korban that represents the whole, we call it corporate Klal Yisrael. So that's a Korban HaTzibur. Korban HaYachid is when an individual by themselves brings a Korban. The Korban HaPesach functions as a bridge for Bnei Yisrael. It's a Korban that's brought with multiple Mishpachot together, many people together, not individuals, but not yet at the national level. And it's a development, it's a stage of development for Klal Yisrael, moving from being Yechidim, individuals or families, to being a corporate entity called Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Korban HaTzibur is exactly that type of Korban that sits in between. It's quasi Korban Yechid, quasi Korban Tzibur, because that's exactly where it's functioning or how it's acting. And that's why, over here, it's called a Korban HaTzibur, even though really it's a bunch of Yechidim doing it together. But again, the Yechidim aren't really alone, it's many Mishpachot that get together, and that's the underlying concept of the Korban HaPesach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Safra, Makra, Pasuk says, V'chagotem oto chag l'Hashem shivat yamim b'shana. You have to bring the Chagigah 7 days during the year. Shiva? What do you mean 7 days? Shmona Havu. The Chag is really 8 days long. Meaning Sukkot is 8 days long. So why are you only bringing it for 7 days? El Mikan the Chagiga, she no Doche the Shabbat. From here you see that the Gorman Chagiga is not Doche Shabbat. Ki at Rabin Amar Marti Lifnei Rabutai. When I learned this limud, I said before my Rebbeim, Pamim Shiata Motzel Shisha. There's sometimes that you only have 6 days of Chagiga. When? Kagon Shechag Yom Tov Yishon Shechag B'Shabbat. When the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat, that means that Shmini Atzeret is also on Shabbat. That means there are only 6 days available to bring a Chagigah. Amar Abaye, Aben Tichlo, Lema Ki HaMilto. This is a person of bereavement. This is a person who's buried his children, making no sense, speaking irrationally. This is someone who doesn't have a sense of how to make a limud or a drasha. He was the only type of person that would say something like this. Shmona lo mishkaka laklau. You can never have 8 days where you can bring a chagigah for 8 days. Shiva ita berov shanim. Because most years it's 7. When Shabbat is not the first day of Yom Tov, it has 7. But you don't always have 6 days. So that's the drush on the pasuk. The pasuk is teaching you that you'll never have 8 days of chagigah. Because it's impossible that Sukkot won't cross over as Shabbat. Since that's impossible, there will always be one day where you can't bring a korban chagigah. And since you can't bring a korban chagigah, that shows you that the Chagigah is not Dochet to Shabbat, and that's why they disagree with Ben Dortai. And this is one of the Rayot for Tosafot's position, that we're talking about Chagigah Tedvav, because V'chagotomato Chag Bashem Shivat Yamim is talking about Chagigah Tedvav, and not about Chagigah Yudalit. And then he answers on behalf of Rashi to suggest that maybe that what the Chachamim thought was that all the Chagigot have the same din. So just like Chagigah Tedvav is not Dochet to Shabbat, so too Chagigah Yudal would not be Dochet Shabbat, because Shem Chagigah is always the same. And therefore, the Chachamim believe that Chagigah Yudal is not Dochet Shabbat, even though the Pasuk's written about Chagigah Tedvav in support of Rashi's position. But this is one of the Rayot that Tosafot has, that we're talking about Chagigah Tedvav here, not Chagigah Yudal. Okay, we'll stop over here.